Aloha, bro. Welcome to Nervous Rex. I'm sitting on a beach in Hawaii because I'm better than you. Oh, did you hear that? You hear the white noise? That's just the North Shore, no big deal. I came out here with Bruce Irons for this surf contest, but it's got put on hold because of COVID, and now it might be canceled. So me and Bruce, who's a pro surfer, if you're not familiar, friend of mine, and he's like, last minute, we just bought a ticket out here. It's so crazy. I'm 46 years old, and I live my life like a goddamn fucking gypsy. We just came out here with a ticket with nowhere to stay. I just rented a fucking van. We threw surfboards in the back, and we drove to the North Shore, and we had nowhere to stay, and then everywhere's booked up and shut down because of COVID. So next thing you know, our friend Block back from L.A. had to call his friend to be like, can my friend stay at your house? And the dude wasn't there. His neighbor had to open the gate. Next thing you know, me and Bruce are sleeping fucking back-to-back on a futon in some dude's house we don't even know, and I'm 46 years old, curled up like a little bitch, going, what am I fucking doing with my life? This is where I ended up, but you know what? It all works out because now we got a room at this villa and we're chilling like the vanilla gorilla. But what else is going on? Just came to Hawaii. I had to get out of California. It's too depressing. It's just, I sit around by myself in Joshua Tree losing my mind, or I go into COVID City, LA, and risk it all. And to get to Hawaii, you actually got to take a COVID test and get on a plane within 72 hours, which in itself is weird because, like, you can't contract it within 72 hours. But it's better than nothing. So you got to go through all this crazy shit and go to this specific place. And I had to fucking drive 2 hours to go get a test at this place, a drive-through, and they ram the thing up your nose, and you get your results in 15 minutes. And they give you a card, a piece of paper that lets you get on the plane, and then you got to fill out all. It's like, it was just the wildest shit. And then the other islands, I'm in Oahu, the other islands you can't go to unless you quarantine for 14 days. And when they were doing that in Oahu for a while, where I am, you had to quarantine upon getting here. That's why they did a pretty good job of controlling it. And I guess since the surf contest, when everyone comes from all over the world to contest, there was an outbreak, so they had to shut it down. It, even out in the open air ocean surf, you think it would be the most, I'm on the most remote place on the planet, I think, besides Easter Island. Technically, Hawaii is the most remote place, and just clean air, ocean, beautiful sun, and there's still an outbreak within the little surfer community, and then there was like a staph infection outbreak. But anyway, I don't know how to surf. I just love hanging out with surfers because I've been lucky enough to be around so many different scenes. Like, I've been around the Hollywood scene and the music industry and the fashion scene and snowboard. Surfers got the best life ever. I think I've talked about it before. They just win. They're just constantly chasing waves. It's never-ending summer, always in the sun, eating good food on the beach. They live the best life. So I just tag along with these guys because I'm like, you guys got it figured out. This is the best scene I've ever been around. And I don't know how to surf. But I get to go on these, and then my real surfer friends get so pissed because they're like, bro, you're with all the best surfers going to these fucking Bali, Costa Rica, Hawaii. I'm very, very grateful. And I just needed some fucking, I swear this place heals you. I swear this island or these islands out here in Hawaii compared to sitting around in LA, Joshua Tree heals you too, but there's something about the ocean to me that's the most powerful source of just like you just sit in the sun and just jumped out of the water right now. I just feel rejuvenated. I feel rejuvenated. I don't want to just brag, but I'm in a geographically superior location than most of you listening, the 92% of you, because some of you guys might be listening from Fiji or Bali or something. But anyway, that's besides the point. How you crispies out there doing? This is some crazy, crazy fucking holiday season. Is always a little depressing for some reason. I don't know why, but the holidays always kind of depress me. I wonder what that's about. But especially during COVID, it's like double depression. There's just this looming weird energy, even out here. Like, we couldn't even go visit our friends. I'm sitting right now looking at the Billabong house, the fucking Ruka house. All these surf houses are all lined up in a row. You just can't go in because of COVID. So, like, you can't go see your friends. It's just they're all bubbled up and quarantined up like the NBA did. So the surfers got to stay bubbled up. And I guess the contest is technically on hold, but they may cancel it. But I came out with Bruce to get him in the water and get him in the contest. And then we land and it's canceled or postponed. But, hey, no big deal. In Hawaii, fucking chilling. I'm just watching one of the most beautiful waves on the planet Earth right now, and I'm just watching all these dudes just getting barreled. I wish I knew how to surf. I feel like at this point, I don't know if I'm going to really learn. I guess that's not the right attitude, but I just ate it. Oh, shit. But I guess I could longboard and catch little waves. It's not too late to learn, but physically, it's so humbling. Oh, man. I'm at the point now where, like, my whole life I kind of just skated by and always stayed in really good shape easily, and now winter time, kind of holiday, you just get the little out of shape vibe. So I think I'm just gonna do a beach run and keep it crispy Talladega for the fucking Giulianis, you know. But I had to get the fuck out of Dodge. My mom won't let me come home for Christmas, understandably so, I get it. She's 75 years old and doesn't want to get COVID. And even if I tested negative, I could still somehow be in that window of time where the test is wrong or you get it on the way to her house. So it's like, fuck it, go to Hawaii. This is what I was going to talk about. So I started writing notes down of all the crazy Hollywood stories that I got, and just crazy stories. Here's one. Here's a crazy fucking one. This is just name dropping. I don't care. I'll call this segment name dropping. Oh, the sun just came out like a fucking Mariposa. So I was hanging out at a nightclub years ago, probably like 6 years ago or something. And Dr. Dre's at the club. I'm with my manager, Kevy Kev. And I don't know why we're both out. We never roll out together. For some reason, me and my manager were out. And Dr. Dre looks at me and smiles and waves me over to his table. And I'm like looking behind me like, me? He's like, yeah, you, come here. And I go to his table, and it's Dr. Dre. I'm like, what's up? I'm like, who does he think I am? Yeah, you think I'm Eminem? You know him. I'm not Eminem. And he's like, no, Scary Movie. Me and my kids loved your shit. You played Eminem. All right. So I'm hanging out with Dr. Dre at his table, and it's sort of like one of those uncomfortable things where it's real loud. He's giving me drinks. I'm getting drunk with Dr. Dre. I'm like, is this really happening? And I'm looking out at my manager, and he's just like, yeah, that's crazy. You're in there with him. I got in the ropes. And I don't know what to say to him because it's loud, and it's like you got to yell over the music in his ear, and it's just a weird thing. And so, out of uncomfortable, nervous, not knowing what to do with myself, I'm like, let me just do the dumbest thing possible. Let me show him a picture of me with Tupac, because who doesn't want to see their dead friend while at a nightclub celebrating? So I whip out my phone and I find the picture of me and Tupac, and I show it to him. Like, look, see, I know you, which is such a weird thing us humans do. Like, people do it to me all the time. Like, hey, I know so-and-so. Like, okay. So we got to be friends now? Like, why? What's this weird thing we do where you got to connect with someone by saying, I know this person? Okay, great. We all know a lot of people. So I did that. I did that weird move out of nervousness. Didn't know how else to connect with them. It's like this really weird thing we do. So I show him the picture, and all of a sudden he went from smiling and celebrating to just looking at me like, why would you show me that? And I was just like, oh my God, I'm that guy. I'm that fucking guy right now who just showed Dr. Dre me and Tupac, because I had interviewed him in MTV. And he just looks at me and like was just like, I just ruined his vibe. And I was just like, you dumb. You know when you just do something and you're just like, oh, I hate myself. I'm that guy. So I was that guy, and that was really fucking embarrassing. And then I kind of just like put my phone away sheepishly. I'm like, I'm going to hit the road. And I just ruined it. And I could have done a full album with Dre, and I would have been the next Eminem. But instead, I had to do that. So anyway, there's a little Hollywood tale for you. Let's see. Here's another one I got. This isn't a Hollywood tale, but I just like, I'm in therapy, right? So I talked to my therapist about all my woes. And one of my problems is I think back on my life and I just realize that I've had these situations with the ladies that happened to me that fucked me up at a young age. I went to pick up my junior prom date. I'll never forget. Her name was Brandy. Half black, half white, depending how you look at the glass, half full or empty. And she was beautiful, curly hair. And I was so nervous. You know, when you're in high school, you're so nervous to ask someone out. And I fucking asked her to prom. She said, yeah, or junior prom. She says, yes. I get a suit. I get the flowers. I go to pick her up at the fucking thing. And I show up and she opens the door, like, sad face, like, I think she was crying, actually, and she just opens the door and just has hickeys all over her neck, and I obviously can't bring her to prom. She hooked up with some dude, which she wasn't my girlfriend, but she was my date, and I just stand there deflated, and I remember going home with my suit on and the flowers, like, okay, that sucked. And then I was telling my therapist this one. I was back when I lived in New York in the early 90s, and I was dating this girl who shall remain nameless, but she was a beautiful girl, and I was dating her, and then right when I dated her, I got flown out to Milan to do some modeling job, so I dipped, and this is before internet and email, because I was writing her love letters. This is how old, ancient this was, like Game of Thrones shit, like writing letters? Who does that anymore? And I wrote her love letters, and she'd send them back, and we're like, oh, I miss you, and it was just kind of like, and... You know, I was gone for like 2 or 3 months, so I understand it fizzled. So I come back to New York 3 months later, all stoked to see her. I come back to my boy's crib, who I'm roommates with, and as I open the door, she's sucking my friend's dick. And she just bops her head up and looks at me, and I was just like, oh, I'm such a little sucker, dude. I'm such a simp. This fucking girl, I'm writing her love letters, and she's just blowing my friend. So my therapist is like, yeah, these things got... Maybe I'm legally not allowed to talk about what my therapist is. Anyway. So, yeah, it kind of fucked me up because I've just had these experiences with these girls that just made me just, like, closed off. And then, you know, the small amount of fame that I've got has made me closed off. I don't want to let people in. I'm kind of just blocked off because when you let people in, they just disappoint you so much. And I was just hanging out here in Hawaii with this dude, Monkey, this homie. His name's Monkey. It's not his birth name. It's his nickname. And, bro, this guy's so fucking cool, bro. He just opens his door to me and Bruce, fucking making us food, fucking everyone coming in and out. I love you. And then he starts talking about, he's like, man, he was just had so much love and telling everyone I love you and just that fucking vibration that's out here in Hawaii that doesn't exist really in L.A. And he's like, man, if you don't live with an open heart, you're not living. And then that really hit me because I feel like I closed off emotionally because of the chicks that have bummed me out and all the weird like energy that comes at me that I'm kind of just closed off and I need to open up because I'm not living life fully. So it was a big lesson. It really stung. I was like, fuck, he's so right. And you got to just live with an open heart and not give a fuck if you get hurt or whatever, because then you're not living. And so long story short, I'm doing ayahuasca. That was a long way of saying it. I just made my appointment. It was so wild how this came up. Sorry, I had a coffee. I know I'm annoying. And let's take a deep breath together, shall we? I wish you guys could see this where I'm at. And what did I just say? Oh, yeah. So this random thing came up with an old friend of mine who basically did ayahuasca recently. And he'll publicly say it. He suffers from mental illness. And it's really helped him. And it's made him... He's adopted. And it made him go meet his birth mom. After he did it, he found his mom and went and met her and just said it was the best. And it just resolved all his... Because we're all just walking around with our childhood bullshit that we've never resolved, myself included. And so I really want to figure out and go deeper than just going to therapy and, you know, listening to podcasts and reading self-help books and all that shit. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you got to do the work. And I don't want to bypass and just do the plant medicine because that's cheating. And I think you need to also do therapy and talk about shit. And so I think you got to do all of it and shine the light on your shadow, right? We all got to do that shadow work and that we'll figure out all the childhood stuff we're still holding on to. Like, and this sounds woo-woo hippie, but I believe we store the energy of shit in our body that just stays in there and, like, trauma and things that happen that you don't let out. So, you know, when you do ayahuasca, you purge and you throw up and you get a lot of that shit out. I don't know if I've ever told this story on here before about the mushroom masseuse, the lady who comes over and does mushrooms with you. She eats mushrooms, you eat mushrooms, and she does like 4-hour massage on you and just finds all this blocked energy and works it out, and you're just fucking crying, and you're just like, And this woman was like a lesbian, strong woman. Not that it matters her sexual orientation, but it is the fact that she was one, and she was just fucking like, I never forget, she comes in with the mushrooms and a massage table, and she busts out the bag of mushrooms, and she eats them with you, so you're on the same level as her and talk about shit while she's massaging you. It was so gnarly. And she fucking, I remember she like busts out the bag and I ate like a stem and a cap, and then she looks at me deep into my soul and she's like, what are you afraid of? I'm like, huh? She's like, eat more. It's like, oh fuck, all right. So I ate more and she ate them with me, and we did the most deep crazy work and all this stuff. She would like find a knot in my lower right urethra and she'd rub that out and talk about it and figure out what that was and what it could be. It's just so fucking crazy how much healing you could do on yourself with plant medicine and mushrooms and just without as well. I'm not saying you got to do that, but I really do think that there is it could be used as a good tool to help you figure shit out and purge and get all that shit out, because I think we're all just holding on to so much stuff. At least I'm speaking for myself. I just hold on to so much bullshit. I just gotta let it go. and all the cliche things you hear over the years that are on bumper stickers and on the wall at a yoga shop, like be in the moment or, you know, let it go. It's all true, though. Even though it's got some of that cliche shit, it's fucking true. So weird. But that's neither here nor there. I just am sharing where I'm at, midlife. It's such a trip. I was talking to Bruce about it. We're like at this age where we're in midlife, if we're lucky. And so there's already this kind of midlife weirdness mixed with the holidays, mixed with the pandemic, mixed with like being, it's just a gnarly time right now. And I think collectively we're all going through shit and you're finding out who you are, who your friends are. So in the end, I think it's a good thing. I'm connected with my dad more than ever. We're never that close. We, you know, talked for 2 hours the other day. He was telling me all this crazy shit I never knew about his dad and his side of the family that I just never knew because my father left when I was 2. So I got all these abandonment issues and that affects all my relationships because it's just like, why am I telling you guys all this? I don't know. I guess Hawaii's opening me up a little bit, but this is just sort of like, I think it's time, like, we're just forced right now to sit with everything, so it's time to, like, look at all this shit and deal with it, you know? I don't want this to become, this is meant to be a funny podcast, not to be like, I know the answers to life and I'm some shaman Rex, but I do think that there's shit that's out there that is works and is true, including, maybe not for everyone, but plant medicine and therapy can help you, as well as just doing... I just ran into Nathan Fletcher. He's like another one of Bruce's boys, another gnarly pro surfer legend. And he was just telling me he just looked all good. He just looked like he's just radiating good energy. He just looked like he was vibrating on a higher frequency, man. And he fucking was just like, yeah, I've been doing this breath work and stretching where I just like do this crazy. It's kind of like some, you know, Gracie Wim Hof breath work mixed with stretching. And he's like, bro, I go so deep and then I just meditate and become one with God and just like it changes your whole shit. He's like, everything starts lining up. If you do it every day, your life starts lining up. And I was like, fuck, I believe it. You look great. And you just seem to be. Do you ever notice that how people like vibrate on a fucking different frequency and some are low, like, I think there's low vibration drugs and high vibration drugs. Because you can't just say all drugs are bad, right? Because that's like saying food's bad. There's fast food and then there's sushi. One's good for you, one's probably not. And I think that falls with drugs as well. I think there's high vibration drugs and low vibration drugs. Low vibration drugs are pills, cocaine, alcohol. That just lowers your vibration. It doesn't make you expand and grow. And then there's drugs like mushrooms or maybe MDMA once in a while, like clean MDMA or ayahuasca or even ketamine that could be used therapeutically to fucking put together the Rubik's Cube and lock it all in and figure out shit. And so I know for myself personally, from my past when I was doing those low vibration things, even smoking weed to me is low vibration. It just makes you like meh, you know, like you're not you don't, I don't know, I think I'm on the spectrum of some type. I don't know what I got because they used to put me on Wellbutrin and Effexor, which are these drugs that stabilize your ADHD. And I just felt so blah that it just wasn't worth it. I'm like, I'd rather have high highs and low lows than be on these pills that make you just blah. The SSRIs. I don't know what that stands for, but those are those kind of drugs. I don't think they're fucking good. But I'll tell you, again, I always ramble about this. I just think nature is the solution. I'm just sharing what I fucking think I know. I think nature, getting out of the city and getting under the stars and having a fire and being on the beach is you heal. Because we're not meant to live in these cities just stressed out, sitting in traffic. And right now, everyone's just, there's just too much information, bad information going around that's being shared. And, oh, man, it's just so wild. Like, some of my friends, we just have such different views on this pandemic and science and conspiracy theories. And I won't go down that road. You know, I get heated on that shit. But at the end of the day, my theory is, what are you going to do about it? You know, and how does it affect? Well, it is affecting your life. But what are you going to do about it? You know? Okay, well, what are we having for dinner? You know, that's what Mark Norman said on my podcast. He's like, I don't know. When people start going into the conspiracy theories, like, okay, great, what are we going to eat later? It's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? You ain't doing shit. Yeah, people just want to know like they know. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by BetterHelp.
It's online therapy. This is exactly what I'm talking about in this episode. We all need somebody to talk to. I know I do. I know that inner dialogue that goes in my head sitting around during a pandemic when you're quarantining can, you know, make you feel a little kooky sometimes. So I think it's very important to talk to somebody to get help. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. All right. So seriously, think about this, guys. This is therapy you could do from your home. What interferes with your happiness? You could talk about it. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, there's a lot. I sit around and I overthink things. Sometimes it'd be nice just to talk to someone. We need to connect. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient. You can start communicating in under 24 hours, and it's not self-help, it's professional counseling. You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in one of those uncomfortable Woody Allen-type chairs that you see in all the movies where you got to lay there and talk to your therapist as he's sitting there judging you. No, this isn't going to happen here, okay? This is from the convenience of sitting on your own couch. You can even do it standing up if you want. I mean, look, to be quite honest, you could do it from the toilet, although I wouldn't recommend that. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Getting a therapist is like getting a new pair of shoes. Sometimes you got to try a few on to find the right one that fits. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. The service is available for clients worldwide. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Licensed professionals or counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, we all need help with that one, sleeping, I need help with that one, trauma, anger, I need help with that one, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, these are all things that we all need to address and talk about, and anything that you share is confidential. It's convenient, it's professional, and it's affordable, all right? So, listen, this is not a crisis line, guys. This is just somebody to talk to. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Okay, so I want you guys to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/rex. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/rex, R-E-X. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, it's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Rex. Do some of that self-work. Love yourself. I love you. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by Shaman Ramen. Oh, baby, am I excited about this one. Two of my friends created the first adaptogenic superfood ramen, and boy, is it delicious. If you live in the Southern California area, you can go ahead and get it at Erewhon, but pretty soon it's going to be available all over. Look, it's an immune booster. It has 7 adaptogenic mushrooms. It's got anti-inflammatory ingredients, vitamins A and C, non-fortified nutritional yeast, soy-free, miso, 100% organic and plant-based, but the best part about it is it's sexy, and girls and guys love it when you're sexy, because you're looking good and you're feeling good, and you're slurping on some delicious, nutritious love. I'm telling you, there's lion's mane in it, there's cordyceps, reishi mushrooms, is it reishi or reishi? Either way, there's a whole bunch of mushrooms, some that I can't even pronounce, but basically, long story short, it's the world's first adaptogenic superfood ramen. Conscience, convenience in a cup. And right now, let's be honest, we're all sitting around. We got nowhere to go. We're in a pandemic, so what better time to sit around and get healthy and just spend as little time as possible cooking? It's a win-win because I'm lazy. I just want to eat healthy and I don't have time to be messing around. So for all you guys out there, please, you must go to shamanfoods.life and check out this product. It is so good. Or you could go to Shaman Ramen on Instagram and check out the regalia. Guys, I'm telling you right now, this is a delicious treat. I back it. I just had one, and it's slurpy, delicious treat. I love you guys. Oh, yeah. Okay, I told a Dr. Dre story. Let's see here. I made a note of things to talk about. Here's a note I wrote.
There's different types of attachment theories. I don't know if you're familiar with attachment theories, like it affects your relationships. There's like a anxious type, avoidant type. Avoidant types are very independent, afraid of intimacy, problems with commitment, always got to find a reason to be alone, childhood neglect. Hello, that's me. Then there's anxious type, can't be alone, insecure. And then there's anxious avoidant, which is the worst kind, which my friend and I both read the book called Attached and found, self-diagnosed ourselves as anxious avoidant, scared of intimacy, anxious for someone when they get close, often alone and feel bad about it. Dude, I'm anxious avoidant. And what are you listening out there? I know some people who can't be alone for 5 minutes. That's another thing. Like Blaise Pascal has a famous quote, all of man's problems arise from not being able to sit alone with himself in a room for 30 minutes. I butchered the quote, but you get the idea. Like myself included, I'll sit there truly and just can't just sit with my own shit. Just sit, like meditate is hard. You got to fucking put on a podcast or put your audiobook or TV or music. Like you can't just sit with nothing. And I know a lot of people who just can't be alone. They go from relationship to relationship. And I think it's good to at times in your life be alone and know who you are. So if that the other one bails, you're like, I'm okay alone. But then I also know they're saying that being too alone is so bad for you. Like when I spend days on end alone in Joshua Tree without any social interaction, they say it's as unhealthy as like smoking and eating bad and shit, because it's mentally, we're social monkeys and we need to communicate and do things together. And you don't realize it until you're just sitting by yourself. It's fucking crazy. Like a vision quest. You know what a vision quest is? It's when the Native Americans, and I believe other Native people, would have a ceremony type thing where you go out by yourself into nature for like 3 or 4 days, whatever it is, by yourself. You just bring like a jug of water and you just got to be alone in nature. I think you just get like a tarp or something for like shelter and to wrap around. And you just got to go by yourself and all this shit comes up. And we are so overstimulated that imagine just going and sitting alone in nature by yourself with no one around for miles. It's fucking heavy. I kind of want to do one. I want to see what comes up, because where I live in Joshua Tree, you're basically no one's around for miles. But I have Wi-Fi and I could go on and FaceTime somebody, and even still it puts you through it. But what do I know? I don't know shit. All I know is this podcast is one of the only things I got going on that keeps me having some purpose. Because that's another thing, when a man ain't working, maybe it's not gender, maybe women too, ain't working, I feel like you're just lost and you need some type of structure. It's almost like, do you ever go to the gym and you fucking gotta just work out by yourself? You just walk in a gym, you're like, what am I gonna do? Like, someone give me a routine. I need like a trainer or somebody to tell me, like, dude, you're gonna do 10 sets of this, 5 sets of this, 20 minutes on the treadmill. Okay, I'll go do it. But when I'm left to just myself, just walk in there and do it on my own, I'm like, I need the structure. You know, as you get older, you kind of just know, like, that's just who I am. Maybe I'm just a guy who needs structure. It's okay. It's no big deal. But, yeah, life's a trip. And I'm sitting here, got sand in my toes and in between my hands. And there was a meteor shower last night. And I was, like, looking up all this stuff on astronomy, because I'm fascinated with astronomy and a little bit starting to be open to astrology, which I always thought was bullshit, but I think there's some truth to it. But I'm starting to learn a lot about the stars and everything, because now that I'm in Joshua Tree, I see so many stars and you can see satellites and you get kind of tuned in with the stars. And like, I'm starting to notice the different rotation of the Earth, I guess, because the Milky Way, which you can see, is at a different axis this time of year. So you just kind of connect. It's so crazy. You just get so disconnected from that living in a city in a little box. And now I'm just learning about astronomy, and I'm not going to regurgitate some incorrect information, but basically, there's more stars in the galaxy than grains of sand. Now, who the fuck figured that out? Who could measure the sand? I don't know what to believe. You know, they say believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. Like, even if you see something, like, that could be bullshit. And Lord knows, just regurgitated information. Like, do you remember when you played telephone in school as a kid and you'd have like 10 people and you say one sentence and then by the time it gets to the last person, the sentence is totally butchered? That's all information I think that's been handed down has been so butchered that I just don't believe anything. I think I'm such a skeptic. And I'm even a skeptic of the conspiracy theories that are against the mainstream narrative, because I don't believe that either. So it's like, what are you left to believe? You know? It's fucked up. There's just been so much bad information flying around, and everyone's so opinionated. I'm just glad I'm not on Facebook, because from what I understand, everyone's just going crazy on there. It's all like boomers on there just with their spewing their political beliefs, thinking they have a platform that anyone gives a fuck about. No thanks. Nope. I tried Facebook once. My buddy was like, my buddy Jordan, he was like, dude, you just got to get on there. I'm like, no, dude, I've made it. This was like fucking 8 years ago. I'm like, nah, I made it this far without it, maybe 5 years ago. He's like, just, oh, it's, I think he just like wanted me to be miserable too. So I started a fucking a page, and I open up a private or a personal one for me, not for Dirt Nasty or my career, just a personal page. And within 2 minutes, all these people that I got out of my life for a reason were immediately on it. Like, hey, I've been trying to find you, but I'm like, hell no, get me off of this shit. Instagram and Twitter already ruined my life enough. I don't need another reason to look at my phone and be rude at the dinner table. So, have you guys been doing your homework? When you wake up in the morning, do you say, hey Siri, set timer for 15 minutes and don't look at your phone for 15 minutes? I haven't been. I need to do that more. There's nothing better than just waking up and remembering your dreams and being all crispy. Listen to me. Shaman Rex, bro. Dirt Namaste, dude. I'm a fucking self-help guru, dude, who knows nothing. Recently, god damn, I'm annoying. Recently, I was listening to this. My favorite podcast is Conspirituality. You guys got to check it out. It basically calls out all the bullshit of the new age wellness community and like all this crazy shit that's going on. And one of the things they were saying, this guy was on, and he was like, often the teacher, like if you go to some, like there's some guru or yoga teacher, often they're the most fucked up person in the room that hasn't resolved their shit, because they're sitting up there preaching everything like they got it figured out. And at the end of the day, man, I want to be around people who are curious monkeys asking questions, not saying I have all the answers. That's when I run the other way. When you tell me I got all the answers and pull up a chair, and I'm like, no. I don't buy that for a minute. Fucking, we're all teachers and we're all students. We all have to figure this shit out. And so, please don't listen to me. People always ask me for like advice. I'm like, don't you can ask me. I'm the last person you want to have any advice whatsoever. My life has just been a series of mistakes. I'm just happy to even be here. I've fucking fucked up so much shit in my life. Anyway, sorry to vent to you guys. It's just crispy Talladega. All right, on that note, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite songs. It's a Rick Ross song that he actually got in trouble for, because one of the lines, he says, I put Molly in his champagne. She didn't even know it. Took home and enjoyed it. He basically said he raped a girl. He said in a song he raped a girl, and then he got in trouble. Like, this was years ago, but it's a great song. This one, I remember when this came out, I was living in Louisiana doing a movie, and man, I just had that shit on repeat. This is probably 6 years ago. Man, I must have, you know when you play a song out so much, you just play it back to back like 20 times in a row? That's this song. And anyway, enjoy. And then please, guys, if you just take 20 seconds and go to the fucking app that you're on right now and just review my shit, just give me 5 stars, because I need more advertising, because I'm just fucking, I spent all my money that I made in this business, and now just this is, puts food in the regalia and gas in the tank. So anything helps. I'm not asking you for money. I'm saying just put the fucking review, and then I get more reviews, and then I get more advertising. And also go support the Patreon too, which I'm going to start putting some Tweaker Rodrigo exclusive content on there. Because I feel like everybody, like even just in Hawaii, I was just walking down the street and was like, Tweaker Rodrigo. It's a character I do on Instagram that people like. So I think I'm going to do like a Tweaker Rodrigo TV show and put that on my Patreon just for a couple bucks here and there, because the motherfucker got to eat. I'm starving. I'm going to go get a Pokeball. I love you guys. All right? Have a great one. Sookie Round D.
Cannon. You don't even know it. High class niggas.
This shit sound crazy. This shit sound crazy.
Flash it only.
Flash it only.
You know what I'm saying?
Cannon.
If $1,000 pair of shoes, you don't even know. If $1,000 lane, you don't even know.
The cannon.
Just half $1 million car, you don't even know. I came up from bottom, you don't even know.
That's back.
My niggas all ride with me, you don't even know. I got killers with me right now, you don't even know it. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know it. Got $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know it.
Ayy, that monster truck sit tall as fuck, so big, can't even talk. Don't like snakes, keep my grad cut so low, can't even more it. Sip done, period, look high, glow, no, we don't do more it. This ain't PJ, no rosé for me. Host don't need port. Spent some time for it. Button down Michael Kors. Always on like the refrigerator. Unplugged, then oh, you know it. AP and that P gate with a bright lean when on board. Got a masterpiece and a 41 millimeter, you ain't even know it. Keep the 45 in my pocket, I ain't gon' show it till I have to pop it, then you gon' know it. Damn, who shot you, they don't even know it. Hawks game, fucking Floyd. TVC, front row it. Rocko the Dunn, CEO it. Ain't got a rapper, you know it.
It's $1,000 pair of shoes, you don't even know it. It's $1,000 Brooklyn, you don't even know it. Just $500,000 car, you don't even know it. I came up from bottom, you don't even know it. My niggas all ride with me, you don't even know it. Got killers with me right now, you don't even know it. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know it. Got $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know it.
That nigga show you that re-rock, you ain't even know it. I die over these Reeboks, you ain't even know it. Put Molly all in her champagne, she ain't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that, she ain't even know it. Got 100 acres I live on, you ain't even know it. Got 100 rounds in this AR, you ain't even know it. Got a bag of bitches I play with on cloud 9 in my spaceship. Zoned out, but he stay fresh from zone 1 through zone 6. Bricks all in my blood, birds all in my dreams, boats all in my yard, lemon pepper my wings. I'm about to get you fucked, niggas whack. You ain't even know, your main nigga about to turn his back. You ain't even know.
It's $1,000 pair of shoes, you don't even know. It's $1,000 Brooklyn, you don't even know. Just $500,000 car, you don't even know. I came up from bottom, you don't even know. My niggas all right with me, you don't even know. Got killers with me right now, you don't even know. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know. Got $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know. We turned up every day, you don't even know. Got your bitch with me right now, you don't even know. We turn up in the club, you don't need nothing. Got 100 bottles coming, you don't need nothing. We came up from that, you don't even know it. Drive a $500,000 car, you don't even know it. These $1,000 pair of shoes, you don't even know it. Got bitch speak no English, you don't even know it. These $1,000 pair of shoes, you don't even know. This $1,000 Brooklyn, you don't even know. Just $500,000 car, you don't even know. I came up from bottom, you don't even know. My niggas all right with me, you don't even know. Got killers with me right now, you don't even know. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know.
Cannon.